righteousness.
It's that time for kingdom building. Stay tuned for kingdom building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Everybody sing.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom?
FM as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati, and thanks for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. And so glad that you are here with us today. And may seem a little gloomy out there, but guess what? The sun is always shining. He is shining every single day, 24/7, and that's a good thing. We have him with us, not only with us, but in us. And so God bless you all. And we're going to talk today. It's Oscar and myself. Mike's off. My name's Rich. His name's Oscar. Good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Anyway, you know, Oscar, there's just a lot of stuff that you're hearing out there. Mm-hmm. And it may seem like truth to them. But is it truth? And I always have to go back to the Word of God. I always have to go back and see what the original Greek and Hebrew says about words and how it is to be interpreted. And so we're going to tackle today, maybe a little controversial today, but that's okay. We never ask anybody to believe everything we tell them. We ask you to believe what you know that God has spoken to you. And so our prayer today is that God speaks to you. That's our prayer. We want him to speak to you today and give you revelation on the words that we're speaking forth. We pray every day before the broadcast. We didn't today. So let's do it now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up your holy name because your name is above all names and your power and authority is above all power and authority. So, Father, we just thank you for the anointing to be behind the microphones today and to bring forth a positive, uplifting word, the good news. And so, Lord, we just pray that everyone listening right now and those that will tune in later, that you would just give them ears to hear what your spirit is saying, Lord, and that lives would be changed and hearts would be softened, and that, God, that you would just come inside and have your way in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Oscar, we're going to talk. I'm going to read the scripture that the Lord put on my heart. It's first chapter and first verse of Revelation. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him," him meaning John, "but also him meaning us, to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So we're going to focus. There's a lot in there. And I mean, we could go on for two or three programs on that scripture. But this hour, we're going to focus on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? And Oscar, as you know, many may not know out there, that word revelation is the English word that we use today for apocalypse. It's actually apocalypsis. Apocalypsis is the Greek word. And hopefully you'll be pleasantly surprised that this word does not mean the end of the world. It's interesting because, you know, we'll look up words and we'll Google words and whatever, and give us the definition when you just put it out there, not in a biblical sense, but just that word apocalypse. I think you can remember it. It was just that. Or do you have it up there?
Well, the Webster's Dictionary, is that the one you want?
Yeah, the one that you came up with just because... you know, we
this
wanted
is,
to see what the
this
world...
is what most of the world
yes,
believes here.
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is out of Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. One of the Jewish and Christian writings of 2000 B.C., A.D. 150, marked by... I don't know if I can... pseudonymity, symbolic imagery... that an expectation of imminent cosmic cataclysm in which God destroys the ruling powers of evil and raises the righteous life of the messianic kingdom. That was the...
So basically what most people believe that word means is destruction.
Yeah, they had
destruction
a bunch of...
of the world.
They had a bunch
world
of $50 words
end.
In there.
Yeah, world coming to an end and all that. Mm-hmm. And that couldn't be... further from the truth if you truly break it down. You know, the Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. And this is a word of truth. And like I said, if you just joined, the word revelation of Jesus Christ does not mean the destruction of the world. It does not mean anything but positive. This is called good news. Well, you know, what good news could come from wiping everybody out and destroying
right.
the earth?
Right.
I mean, nothing. So let's get to the real definition of the word revelation. Again, it's the Greek word apokalypsis, and it means apocalypse. So whenever you hear this word apocalypse from now on in your life, I'm telling you, you can go research this out for yourself. This is what it means. It means the unveiling or the revealing. So let's put that back into the context of the sentence or the scripture of 1:1 Revelations. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change the words. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. The revealing of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say that it's the unveiling or the revealing of divine mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, don't you want to know the divine mysteries? I mean, God has mysteries out there, and he doesn't want to hide it from you. He's not this God that says, well, I'm going to throw you down on this earth, but I'm not going to give you any guidance or direction or whatever. It's all mystery, and I'm not going to tell you what the mysteries are.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. You know, Rich, when you realize that the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's going to reveal himself
in
to
us.
The world, in us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, even with John, you know, this first chapter here, he talks to John. And when John turned around and saw him, it wasn't, I don't believe, what he saw when he saw Jesus of Nazareth walking along.
No.
Because it was so glorious that he fell down like one dead, basically. He became totally undone. And, you know, if you really understand what he saw there, I feel like what John really saw was the fullness of the body of Christ standing on the day of the Lord. Because it says that when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of many waters, mm-hmm. you know. And what does Scripture say about us? It says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of many of
living
waters, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Daniel had almost the same revelation back in Daniel. And when he described it, he said, when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of a great multitude. Mm-hmm. Well, that great multitude is the body of Christ standing up
yep.
as a mature man, all speaking the same thing in Christ, you
Amen.
Know. And it was so glorious that, that John fell down like one dead.
Right.
You know.
Well, I just kind of really researched a lot of different things and uh-huh. some more definitions. If those didn't suit you, we got more. Mm-hmm. But they all point to the same thing, Jesus Christ in you.
Right.
That's what it all points to. I love this definition of, now if you just join us, we're given the definition of the revelation, the word revelation of Jesus Christ, uh-huh. or the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Again, it's a Greek word, and it means unveiling, revealing of divine truths. I like this one, revealing of divine mysteries, but I like this one, the disclosure of truth. An uncovering. You know, when a sculptor, there's a story of David, I guess it's in Florence, Italy, but there was a story of David, or of Michelangelo sculpting David, and there was he wanted to have the unveiling in the town square, so apparently they got the sculpture there, but there was a big sheet over it.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? When the time was right, the sheet came off and the sculpture was unveiled. And right now, I believe we are living in times right now where if you keep asking, seeking, and knocking, and you have a hunger for the Lord and what he wants for you, there's going to be an unveiling in your heart, and God's going to be revealed to you in a way that you have never seen him before.
You know, Rich, let me share this definition from Wikipedia because it's real good and it goes right along with what you're saying there. It says a Greek word meaning revelation, an unveiling or unfolding of things not previously known.
There you go. That's it.
Which could not be known apart from the unveiling.
That's it. There you go.
You can't know this unless God unveils
there
it to
go.
You and lets you know it.
And he's unveiling it to yeah. you today.
Yeah, I love that because
I do too.
He
That's
has to
really
do it.
Good.
And you know what you were saying about David. You know, if you talk, a lot of times if you talk to sculptors, well, they'll tell you when they have that big old rock up there, they'll say, I just cut away everything that didn't look like what I saw.
Yeah.
And that's the way that the Lord is. He's just going to cut away everything that doesn't look like him.
And praise God. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to burn up all that hay, wood, and stubble
right.
in us.
That's right.
We may not like it at the time, but right. man, I tell you, once the divine comes forth, and folks, right. you're divine creatures. I'm telling you, you yeah. may not feel it, but you are. You know, you're eternal beings. So let's start living like we're eternal beings. We're not this dirty, rotten sinner that maybe someone told you that you were, because yeah. that ship sailed, folks. I'm telling you, you became a new creation, and all those old things passed away. So if anybody's trying to tell you you're a dirty, rotten sinner, tell them you're wrong. You're dead wrong. I am a new creation in Christ. That's good, Oscar. I like that. It says... another definition of revelation or apocalypse is revealing what's been hidden, just like what you said.
Uh-huh.
Just like what you said. Taking the book of Revelation literally, meaning what some people have called, because there is a lot of destruction in the book of Revelation. But, you know, John said, I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. In the Spirit. And if you're in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh, right?
Right.
And so if he's in the Spirit, you got to take this book. This is a revelation that, God gave John, who then in turn gave it to us. And so you can't take the book of Revelation literally, because if you do, how are you going to describe these monsters coming out of sea with seven heads or what? I mean, it is a spiritual book, and there's explanations to everything in that book if you take it in the Spirit. I mean, Oscar, you've been a believer 60 years. I've been a believer 35-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
How many books have been written on, you know, the rapture's coming in 1977, mm-hmm. or the second coming of Christ will be at the millennium at 2000, year 2000? I mean, come on. There's so many books right. that have been written over the years and over the decades that never came true. That in itself should at least tell you that I really need to take another look at the book of Revelation as a spiritual book.
Well, you know, Rich, just to emphasize that a little bit is, it says there that that the Spirit signified these things.
Yes.
He signified them. That basically gives the word signified. He brought them in types and shadows and signs. And, you know, if you take the book of Revelations literally, then you're going to totally miss it.
Yes.
Because it's in signs and types.
Yes.
And you know, there's another scripture over there where it talks about, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Well, and he'll go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and name of the city of my God.
So if you take some of it literally, then guess what? You're going to be a pillar.
A marble pillar over in Jerusalem somewhere.
Come on, folks.
And it's not what he's saying. What he's saying is he's saying, I'm going to make you someone who is going to always be upholding other people in the body of Christ and is not going to be founded on anything except the foundation, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what a pillar does. A pillar helps hold up the building, but what's really holding the pillar up is the foundation. And there's no other foundation other than Jesus Christ and him only, you know.
Yes, amen. Anyway, taking the book of Revelation is a beautiful, loving word to the people.
Yeah.
And taking the book of Revelation literally is no different than going to the doctor and telling him to circumcise your heart. I mean, nobody would believe that in order to have your heart circumcised, you have to go through an open heart surgery. No one would believe that. All circumcision is cutting away the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Of your heart, cutting away the flesh of your heart. In Deuteronomy, way back in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, it says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? God does a circumcising. It's not with a scalpel. It's not with anesthesia.
It's by the word of God.
It's by the word of God.
That's right.
And that word of God has to be in you. And the word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is everything. And so when he's in your heart, it's going to get circumcised. You're going to see changes come about. And it's not because you, through your sweat of your brow and through, you know, working really, really hard, this gets done. Because he says it's not by your might. It's not by anything but my Spirit. Mm-hmm. Your efforts are filthy rags, but your efforts with him doing those efforts is glorious. It's beautiful.
Right.
One more thing, Oscar, and then I'm going to see, we'll kind of open it up here. The rite of circumcision is when a man was separated from the unclean world and dedicated to God. That was the purpose back in the first circumcision when, right now, I don't know, back in the day it was an older kid, wasn't it? Now it's right at birth almost.
No, they used to, they would do
seventh
it on the
day,
eighth
day?
Eighth day.
Okay.
Eighth day. which is eight is a number for new beginnings.
New beginnings, yeah. So it was again signified.
Yeah.
It was types and shadows of what God, what you know, you are dedicating that baby to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. You know, we just want to. You know, we're not trying to. You know, it's not our efforts that can change a person anyway. So we're not trying to change you. All we're trying to do is open up your mind to the things of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
so that you can take it to Him. You know, I know we have a lot of people has been listening for years and years and years, and we're not trying to get you to quit listening. We're just trying to challenge you a little bit, because basically what we're saying, you can go and you can verify it yourself. It doesn't take but a Strong's Concordance. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew to go and find what we're telling you out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just asking you to dig it up. Just dig it up for yourself. You know, the last thing we want to do is try to change you. God's the only one that can change you. You know, if He uses our words, then praise the Lord, and to Him all the glory.
That's right.
Okay, so let's. You mind if we get back to the word mystery and the mysteries of God
for a second?
No, because I think that's where people get sideways. You know, is they you know this these mysteries. I mean, you know, if what you're being told out there is fear, and doesn't give you any peace at all, then I wouldn't listen to it, because Jesus is the peacemaker. He brings peace and joy. And we talk about the kingdom of God. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, righteousness is a gift. You've already been given that. He sees you as righteous. Now, the peace and the joy, He's given you too, but mm-hmm. you can give it away. You can give peace away. Mm-hmm. You can give your joy away. And if you do, you're not going to be operating in that realm of the kingdom, because you have to have righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's amazing how when you enter into that realm of the kingdom realm, that if you trust in Him and you give 100% to Him, He's going to give 100% to you. And what He's going to do is He's going to bring that peace. He's going to bring that joy. Things that used to really upset you won't upset you as much. Things that really get you angry won't get you angry mm-hmm. as much. Things that you feel like you have to retaliate, you're not going to have to retaliate anymore, because the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. I mean, there's everything from here on. I give it back to the Lord. If I have a scratch in my throat, I go, Lord, it's your body. My body is your body. You made it, whatever. And so you know exactly what I need to become whole. If it's something going on in the world, I go, Lord, this is your world. You created it, and I'm going to let you do it your way. I'm not going to get in the way with my opinion and whatever, because you know what? Most people don't care what your opinion is anyway. And you're probably not going to sway anybody with your opinion in most cases. So why not operate in peace, love, and joy? I mean, that, I think, is more contagious than trying to push your agenda or push your opinion. I mean, do you agree with that, Oscar?
Yes, I do, yes.
You know, yeah. And there's just so much out there of people trying to shove stuff down people's throats. And we won't do it here. I mean, you believe the way God has you believe, and we can fellowship wherever that is. It does not matter. But we are going to obey God. And when God tells us to do something, we're going to do it. And mm-hmm. and we believe right now that there's a lot of deception out there in the body of Christ about certain things. And so we're going to shine a light on it. And, you know, if you're reading a book on eschatology and they're talking about how this is going to happen and how that's going to happen, how the Antichrist comes on the scene and how, you know, all these seals are going to be broken and vials are going to be poured out and all this, you know what? Go to the Lord, because all that is happening inside of you. You know, maybe some things are going to come that's not good. This pandemic is not good, let's face it. And maybe there's going to be some things that people can relate to a scripture or two. But ultimately, it's you and God. That's all you're responsible for, is you and God. And what he tells you to do and what he tells you to say. That's ultimate. Jesus said, Lord, make them one as you and I are one. Well, if we're going to be one with the Lord, we don't open our mouth unless the Lord tells us to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's going to come out of our mouth, like you said, Oscar, is living waters, good cleansing stuff, positive stuff, uplifting stuff. There's enough negativity and garbage out there that we need to go somewhere to get encouraged and uplifted and positivity in our life. And so, you know, this is what hopefully you get with this program. And I'm going to go ahead and read Mark 4:11. And then if anything you have to add, I'll shut up and you can talk.
Okay.
Mark 4:11 says, and he said unto them meaning you, them meaning anybody that has a heart beating in their chest, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's unto you. Let me put it in today's terms. Man, you got it. I've given it to you. You don't have to work it up to get it. I've already given it to you. Jesus said, it is finished, man. In Ephesians 1, it says, he has already blessed us, past tense, with all spiritual blessings. It's already happened. It says, but unto them that are without. So if you don't want to receive it, it's what it tells me. All these things are done in parables. And what did Jesus speak all the time to the Jews of the day?
Yeah, he spoke in parables.
Yeah.
He said, because it wasn't given for them to understand at that point.
Right.
But today, if we'll study to show ourselves approved, a
yes.
workman that rightly divides the word of truth.
Yes.
And the way we divide it is by actually praying about it and not going in with preconceived ideals and notions, and studying to show ourselves approved and letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts.
Amen.
And I tell you what, when God reveals something to you, there ain't nobody can shake you off of it. But a lot of the traditions of the elders out there have made the word of God of no effect,
right.
You know, the effect that it was supposed to have, you know. And, you know, in this day and age, there's no excuse for Christian folks to not know the truth of what the word says, because there is Greek and Hebrew dictionaries out there that will give you the answers. Strong's Concordance is one of the best that there is. And the Strong's, I believe the Strong's is the strong box.
Yeah, it is.
And if you want to know the beauty
even
of...
Even though it was
that
guy's name, wasn't it?
Even that's right. Even if you want to know the jewels of God, then you need to open the strong box and do a little studying.
Mm-hmm.
And you might just find out that some of the stuff that you've been told over the years isn't exactly right.
Amen.
You know, but I want you to know that you know, we're not here to try to beat you up or anything like that. We're here to talk to you about the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is. One of the best teachers that I ever heard years ago said, you know, I had studied the book of Revelations from front to back. And he said, and then the Lord took me to the beginning there of what it actually said, and he took me to the back of the book when he started actually teaching me. And you have to realize it's not the revelation of all the bad things that are going to happen to the earth. That's not what it is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the unfolding of him. It's the taking the lid off of him so that you can see him for what he is and what he is in your life. and what he desires to be in your life.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, it's a whole different story than what's being told out there. I'll tell you that, a lot of it.
And some of you may be saying, well, yeah, that's, you know, I'm not saying you guys are wrong, but look at the world situation today. Look at where we are as a society. Look at where, you know what? Was there ever a time where there wasn't all this going on? I mean, maybe it's been elevated, yes, but there's been, I mean, look at Cain slew Abel. And that, you can't get too much before time than that, you know? And so, yeah, there's a lot of reason to back up that this is the end of the world and everything, you know, all this is going to happen. But like Oscar said, just rightly divide the word. And the way you do that is you get the word out. You pray to the Lord, Lord, reveal to me. Which that word reveal is apocalypto, reveal to me what you want me to know. And that's all you're responsible for, other than to love your neighbor because you love God with everything of your being, but you love your neighbor as yourself. And that's all you're responsible for. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Oscar says, behold, I show you a mystery. I mean, there you go again. God's not trying to hide this from you. He's not sitting there saying, na-na-na-na-na, I know more than you. No. He's saying, look, I'm going to show it to you, but you got to want it.
That's right.
You got to want it. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Now, someone wants to make that into something else. Let me just tell you what I see. There's a lot of sleeping people out there that have not awoken to the fact of you know, what God has done for you. It's like pushed off, Oscar, into the sweet by and by that, yeah, God did all this stuff for me. When I finally get home, I'll have it all. No. What I see is people sleeping. People are just taking it, whatever someone tells them, they take it for what it is, and they don't get in there and dig it up on their own.
Right.
We're telling you right now, we've said it multiple times this broadcast, don't take our word for anything. Get in there and dig it up for yourself. That's what we did. And I mean, we've got, not that this matters because it doesn't matter at all, but we've got, you know, probably 80-some years of studying the Bible with two people sitting in this room. Doesn't mean anything, not trying to impress anybody, not being boastful, because guess what? Oscar and I will both say, without a doubt, that there is no way we would be maybe even alive today if it wasn't for the Lord.
Oh, that's true. Amen.
You know? The next one is in Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians 1:9 is so important. Having made known unto us, who's us? That's every single person listening to this broadcast. You are us. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Wow. You want to know the will of God? It says we have been having made known. We can have the mystery of God. And we know that that mystery begins with Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know that. Jesus, you know, says Jesus is sitting on a throne. So we automatically, in the natural, our minds go up to some cloud or some mountaintop or way up in the sky somewhere. You know what? That's all this is. All he's talking about here is a dimension. He is on the throne of our heart. He is in our innermost being. He's not sitting up in a cloud somewhere. He is right inside of you. Says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
God loves it when you dig out the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus is the truth, and the more you dig him out, the better off you're going to be. It's his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I mean, these are powerful scriptures, and if this does nothing but get you excited, then good. We need to get excited over the Lord. Amen. We get excited over some of the silliest stuff out there. Man, we need to get excited about the Lord, because he loves you with an everlasting love. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care anything. Oh, did he say that? What religion? Oh, my God. Well, my Bible says and your Bible says that he loved the world with all his heart, that he sent his only begotten Son.
Yeah.
So guess what? He loves you. He loves you no matter what.
Can I share a little scripture with you?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you, this scripture is totally misunderstood and misinterpreted. Now, I'm going to share two of them here.
Okay.
And the one is telling you what the Lord wants to do. And the other one is a translation of what Peter said. But I'm going to tell you that it's been translated very poorly, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Now listen to this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing. I want you to understand that. Not willing that any should perish.
Yes.
But that all should come to repentance. How many's all?
All.
I mean, that's
how can
if he's
you misinterpret
not,
that?
He's not he's not willing that any should perish. Now
he works
in
all
Ephesians
out.
In Ephesians the fourth chapter, it's in Ephesians the first chapter, it says he works all things after the counsel of his own will.
Yep.
Now if he works all things after the counsel of his own will and he's not willing that any should perish, how many think we're gonna perish? If he's not willing that any should.
I can't believe you're saying that.
Well, I'm saying it. But I'm going to tell you something else. Now, here's the one that's really misunderstood here. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up.
Well, that tells me that God's going to destroy the world.
Okay.
Not really.
Now let me tell you, I just sat here and did a few word studies on some of them words. Now, when it says that the heavens shall pass away, okay, that word for pass away is to come near or come aside.
Wow.
To come near or come aside. That's what the real meaning of that word is. Okay. And when it says, with a great noise, the elements, the word for elements there is the principle or the orderly arrangement.
Wow.
God's going to change the orderly arrangement. It's not going to be the same. Shall melt. And the word for melt there has the meaning of to loose any person or thing that is fastened. You know... Things need to be loosed. People are fastened to old traditions. They're fastened to false teaching. They're fastened to a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you what. He's going to loose them from that thing. Those
Praise
things.
God. Praise
and
God.
And then where it says...
Can you hold that one second? Yeah. We missed our break 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
I just
I'll
looked
have to
up.
Come,
I
I'll have to come back to
yeah,
10.
Yeah, just come back to
okay,
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we just got to get this break in so that we don't get in trouble here.
.gov/COVID-19, brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, the other thing is that there's a members-only WAIF annual membership meeting Sunday, September 20th. We're in September now, folks, so, boy, where is this year going, man? Mm-hmm. Does it seem possible we only have, what, 4 months left in the year?
That's right.
Okay, Sunday, September 20th, 2020, New Thought Unity Center, 1401 East McMillan Street, Cincinnati, 45206. Registration is at 3 o'clock. Meeting is at from 4 to 7. Please bring picture ID, membership card, if you have it, ink pen, and WAIF alert, which contains the bylaws, will be handed out, and masks are mandatory. So so glad that you all became members, and we want to see you there on the 20th. So God bless you and for supporting the station, and God bless you for supporting Kingdom Building. Go ahead, Oscar.
Okay, I read you that verse 9 about God not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In verse 10, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Well, what happens when a thief comes in the night? Comes unexpectedly.
Yes.
But I tell you what, you wake up all of a sudden and there's a thief there. Well, I got news for you. Jesus is not a thief. He's come to heal and to save, and that's what he's going to come as.
Yeah.
He's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which will break every band that that holds people back.
Yes.
He cometh a thief in the night, which in which the heavens shall pass away. And that word there for pass away is a word that means to come near or aside. Okay. And with a great noise. That great noise is going to be a message that's going to begin to set people free.
Amen.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the word there for elements is the orderly arrangement of a thing. And the word for melt there is to loose. Part of the meaning of that means, in the way it's used in Scripture, is to loose anything or person that is tied or fastened up.
That's good.
Oh, boy. And when it says there to burn with maybe burned, the word for burn there means to burn up with fervent heat. Okay. Now, if you want to, you want a definition of that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:13. Let me pull that up here a minute. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 3:13.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. It says, for every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire.
Amen.
Okay?
That's good.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, what fire are we talking about?
God.
Scripture says our God is a consuming fire. And now listen to the next verse. It says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You're going to lose the things that he burns up.
That's good.
But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
He's only going to burn up the hay, wood, and stubble.
That's right. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Amen. That's good stuff.
And you know what? He's going to burn up all the junk in your life.
Yes, he is.
So that only the good remains. And you know what the good is? Him.
Him. All him.
That's all him.
Just like John said, yeah. I must decrease so he may increase.
That's
so
right.
John got the revelation of what the scripture Oscar just gave, that all-consuming fire is going to come in. He loves you so much that all the things that cause you trouble and frustration and whatever, he's going to burn it all up. It's all going to be gone, and all that's going to be left is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
That's right. And you know, Rich, when you talk about fire, you know, after Jesus was crucified, a couple of the disciples were walking down the road one day,
mm-hmm.
and this man comes up, and he starts walking along with them.
Yep.
And they didn't recognize who it was. And they start talking to him, and he says, well, why are you so sad? Well, they said, well, where you been? Don't you know that they took Jesus and they crucified him and all did all this and that?
And he was standing right in front of them.
And he's right there with them. And then he starts talking to them and expounding the scriptures to them. Well, they still don't know it's Jesus. Well, they go in to have dinner. They invite him in to have dinner with them. He takes the bread and he breaks it and he blesses it, and their eyes are open and they realize it's Jesus Christ. And what was their reply? They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke with us?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, when the word of God comes forth and his anointing comes forth, it begins to start burning up the wood, hay, and stubble in your life.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to go a little bit farther with that fire, just so we understand what fire is. Scripture says, he says his angels were sent to ministering spirits to minister the word of God to his people, basically. He says he makes his ministers a flame of fire. Now, when you go to church on Sunday and the preacher gets up there and he's preaching, when he's ministering the word of God, what he's doing is he should be burning up the wood, hay, and stubble in your life. Mm-hmm. He should be speaking the fire of God. On the day of Pentecost, when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they were in one accord in the upper room and they were waiting on the Lord, then the sound of a mighty rushing wind came in and cloven tongues of fire set upon their head. Why fire? Because that's part of the fire of God. The fire of God is to burn up all of the junk in your life. It's not to burn you up. It's to burn up the junk. And I got news for you. You know, they even said to Jesus one time when people were misbehaving, he said, shall we call down fire from heaven? They were talking about what happened in the Old Testament. But I got you. You don't know what spirit you're of. That's what he told him. He said, the spirit they're of is to burn the wood, hay, and stubble up in people's lives, not to destroy anybody. Amen.
Amen. That's a good word. We just want to see you grow. I mean, it says in Hebrews 7:12, it says, for the priesthood is being changed. That word is being, those two words, is being, that's present tense. Well, you mean it was present tense back when the writer of Hebrew wrote it? Yes. You mean it's present tense today, in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky? Yes. Right now, you are a priest, whether you acknowledge it or not. Lord made us kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek, and time doesn't permit us to go into that. Yeah. But you can go look up Abraham and Melchizedek, and you'll see the whole thing. So, you know, priests, kings and priests. Well, what's it say? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our king. He is our priest. But we're kings and priests with him.
That's right.
With him. And if you're, you know, you are kings and priests, and the things you believed are now changing, you can stay. You can keep God in this little box.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a big box, but you still keep him in a box. And you can stay in that box. And God will let you. He'll let you stay in that box. Yeah. But there's so much you're missing.
Right.
I'm telling you, the more you move on and the more you allow God to change the priesthood in you, the more peace you're going to have, the more joy you're going to have. You don't get caught up in all this garbage out there of politics and retribution and I'm going to get them and whatever. I mean, you don't get caught up on that because you're looking at things that are above, which are eternal, not the things that are below, which are temporal. So yeah, you're being changed from glory to glory. That's what he wants. That pleases him to change you from his glory to his glory, to his glory, to his glory, all the way to the point of perfection. And you don't have to die for that to happen. No. You have to die the death that Jesus said that we died, and that's we were crucified with him. And if you're crucified with him, this is all available to you right now.
Right.
The inheritance is there. He has given you an inheritance. Someone has to die. Well, you died and he died. Yeah. But now you have a wonderful, beautiful, powerful inheritance. I'm going to read one more, and then I'm going to be turning it back over to you, Oscar, here. It says Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. And can I add something to it that, you know, a little poetic justice, or not poetic justice, but liberty. Don't be conformed to religion. Because if you're conformed to religion, and the only religion you're getting is in this nice little neat box, then you're missing out. You're missing out on all that God has for you. So don't be conformed to necessarily religion. It says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right, right. If you believe today the same way you believe 30, 20, 10, 15, 5 years ago or whatever, I encourage you to reach out and get that renewing of the mind, because it says the priesthood is being changed from day to day to day. Says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Remember, we were talking about his will up here. Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about that. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. God wants to see you grow. God wants to see you mature. God wants you to go from glory to glory. He'll bring you there. You don't have to do anything but come with a willing heart.
You know, Rich, and just to go along with what you were saying before, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen generation.
Yes.
A royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. A holy nation. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Wow.
Which in times past you were not a people, but you are now the people of God, which hath not obtained obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy.
Yes.
You know, and I just want you to know, you're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. That's after that order of Melchizedek. King priest unto God. And that Melchizedek, I will say this about Melchizedek. If you go back in the Old Testament and you look him up and you find out all it says about him, that he was a priest of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
And it says he was without father, without mother, without beginning of days, and without ending of days. And he brought forth bread and wine.
Jesus.
He brought forth bread and wine, and all he did was bless. You've been called to bless and curse not.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, Rich, you're talking about on the internet sometimes on Facebook, I get very upset with Christian folks, because instead of blessing, they're cursing a lot.
Yes.
They're cursing people.
Yes.
They're talking bad about people. And I'm going to tell you what, they're talking about the politicians and all that other stuff. They need to leave all that stuff alone. You know, you're in this world, but you're not of it. If you're serving Christ. And I'm going to tell you something else. You need to just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, whatever he has you do, and quit all that. You're not called to be cursing people. You're not called to be saying bad things about people. You're called to bless. And you're supposed to bring forth the bread. And you know what the bread is? Jesus said,
bread of life.
Your fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness. He said, but I am the bread which came down from heaven.
Yep.
It was Jesus.
Brings life.
That's right. The bread and the wine. And you know what the wine is significant of?
Holy
the wine
Spirit.
Is significant of the Holy Spirit, and is significant of his blood, where he poured out his life on all mankind. Not a few people, not a couple people.
Yep.
He died for the sins of the whole world, all of it out there. And you know what? When he prayed his high priestly prayer when he was on Calvary, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? That forgiveness is extended to all mankind for all time, because they don't know what the heck they're doing most of the time.
Oscar, I think there's probably some people out there saying, you know what, I wish what you guys were saying was true.
It is.
I really wish.
I wish
you could see it. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see that God truly is love?
Yes.
That, I mean, there's so much mixture. There's so much double-mindedness in the church today.
Right.
You know, one minute, oh, God is good and he's loving and all that. But if you don't pray this magic prayer, this special way or whatever, oh boy, you are in serious, serious trouble. You know what? What we need to do is all wake up. Wake up to the truth and
reality.
The truth and the reality of things.
Yeah.
You know what? If your son or daughter did something bad or didn't say exactly what you wanted them to say when they wanted to say it, do you quit loving them?
No, you don't.
Absolutely not. If your son or daughter does something bad enough to go to prison,
no,
you're not going to quit loving them.
Nope.
If you do, you're not doing what God's asked you to do, and that is to even love your enemies.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, God made it easy. Man made it difficult.
Right.
Man wants to put all these rules and stipulations and whatever. But Jesus made it so simple. Love God and love everybody else. Love everyone, even your enemies. Wow, that's a hard thing to do. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I've always done that. No, there's times you have to sit back when someone does something wrong to you. And, you know, the best thing is to go inside and say, Lord, they hurt me. They really hurt me bad. Mm-hmm. I want bad things to happen to them. I'm not going to say I never thought that. But then all of a sudden, because you're inside, that's where he is, that's where he resides, he starts soothing that open wound that you have that someone caused you. And it may take days, it may take weeks, may take months, but sooner or later, that deep wound, Jesus is going to heal it.
Yeah.
And someone needs to hear that out there today, because you've been hurt badly. And you haven't forgiven them yet.
Yeah.
And I promise you, if your heart is turned towards the Lord and you let the Lord fight this battle, you're going to get healed.
Right.
You will get healed, because he heals the brokenhearted, and only he can heal the brokenhearted. And if they never come to you and say, I'm sorry for what I did, it won't matter.
No. And you know what? God's not mad at you. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what you did yesterday. He's not mad at you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he has already forgiven you through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On Calvary. And all you have to do is receive that forgiveness, accept it, and say, Lord, you know, please forgive me, you know. And you know he does. And I got news for you, folks. Christianity makes this thing so hard sometimes.
Yep.
And it's not hard. It's not hard.
Nope.
And it's simple. And all you have to do is acknowledge him. You know, there's a song that talks about he was there all along waiting patiently in line. The Lord, you know, God's everywhere. His spirit is everywhere. David said, if I took the wings of the morning and ascend to the uttermost heights, behold, you're there. If I made my bed in hell, behold, you're there. Well, what he was talking about in hell, there's even some misinterpretations of the word hell.
That's another show.
Yeah, we'd have to be here all
two,
night if we start talking about that. But you know, but no matter where you're at, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. And all you have to do is ask him, Lord, come into my life. He's there already. He's already in you.
Amen.
But all you have to do is begin to acknowledge his presence. And boy, I tell you what, your life will turn around.
And, you know, if you don't receive everything we said, you know, we love you. We just ask that you love us, you know, because only God can take you to where he wants you to go.
Right.
It, you know, maybe he can use our words, and maybe you're open to those words. And maybe right now you're not open to those words, because it maybe goes against some of the things you've heard out there. But you know what? We love you. We love the Lord. And we just ask that you continue loving us. We are done, Oscar.
We're
out of here.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. And we're here next Wednesday. please don't let anything we said keep you from tuning in, because I believe God wants all those that have been listening to continue to listen. Amen. God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Everybody sing.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.